Let's take a look at the minor leagues. We see ourselves here in a situation at shortstop. This is the biggest question I'm asked among people with Ronnie Cedeno, and the fact that Cedeno doesn't seem to be, has flashes of brilliance sometimes, but inconsistent would be putting it, probably politely. What do you see down on the farm, down in the minor league system, as far as help in the infield for this club?
Well, there's two shortstop prospects. One's more of a short-term guy in Pedro Siriaco. He has the defense, but there's a lot of questions on the bat. So if something were to happen with Ronnie Cedeno, he would probably be the first guy called up for 2011. But the long-term solution, the leading long-term candidate, is also a Triple-A, and that's Chase Darnot. And he's more of a average shortstop defensively, but he could be a great number two hitter with just enough power to keep you honest, and he's also a threat on the bases to steal you 25.
Not bad. Now, is there any thought, does he need that year of seasoning at AAA, or is he a guy that they would look at and say, you know what, we brought up Alvarez last year, we brought up Tabata last year, we brought up Walker last year, we have a string, at least a string of success here, bringing up people maybe a little before they were ready. Should we take a shot and bring up now Chase Darnot?
Well, Darnot had a down year in 2010. There was a lot of talk that he had anything from pneumonia to mono at the start of the year. Being a professional, he just played it off as, a tough adjustment to Double A, but he really had a poor first half of the year. And his overall numbers for the year reflect it. So I think the plan is to at least get him to June before they make any sort of decision on him. I think they want to rebuild his stock a little bit. Even in that down year, he still had a real nice 10% walk ratio with a 20% strikeout ratio, and the speed was still there on the bases.
So there's probably not much of a chance you would see him up here this year.
Well, as I said, I could see a scenario where if everything goes wrong with Cedeno and Siriaco is not really producing with the bat, they could bring him up in mid to late June at the earliest, I'd say.
Well, there you go. So at least maybe there's a – because it is, and I know there's an article on your front page about the search for a permanent shortstop. As you look at the guys, as you look at these two guys and maybe a little deeper into the system – will the answer for this come from, the eventual answer come from the farm system, or is it something that even with, Darnot, will they want to look outside the system for somebody who may be able to help them better than what they have in there? Because now, the old days used to bring up a shortstop that was, hit 250, 230, 250, 260. That was okay. But ever since the Nomar Garciaparra, Alex Rodriguez days, now you're looking for a shortstop that's going to give you 30 home runs and, be a 310 hitter. I don't know if there's a lot of those guys out there.
Well, as you mentioned on the front page of PiratesProspects.com, we do have the chaotic search for a shortstop, which looked at who's available in all of minor leagues that would be a potential trade candidate. And then the second part of that article is going to look at who in the major leagues, if there's a young veteran or some mid-career guy who might price himself out of his range for his current team or if his current team's out of the playoff race. That article will be coming up soon, but the takeaway from looking at things in the minor leagues and the major leagues is that golden era in the 90s of Garciaparra, Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, and Tejada from Baltimore, that's kind of that era has sort of passed, and we're back to this era, aside from one or two guys like a Hanley Ramirez or a Troy Tulowitzki, we're back to this era where if your shortstop does hit 250, have a 320, 330 on base percentage, that is kind of what you're looking for. It seems like defense is a little bit back in vogue.
You mean
at the shortstop position?
Scouts are going to be rushing back down to San Pedro de Macarís.
Well, I don't think they've ever left. I think that every team worth their salt has at least one or two guys having red beans and rice in the DR in that specific town, looking to find you know, 14, 15-year-olds who can pick it in the hole.
Exactly. What is the value dollar-wise on a shortstop? I mean, I know I look at sometimes, you know, how much you're going to pay to get a decent shortstop. If you wanted to go out and get one now on a free agent market, is there a number that's associated? Like, you know, obviously starting pitcher, you're going to pay, you know, $9 million, $10 million, what, you know. Is there a number that you really associate? Because the number obviously to me would be skewed because you do have the Tejadas, you know, the Rodriguez's, the Jeters, you know, still out there. Has that number now come down?
Well, it's really tough to say, Vinny, because if you want a guy, I mean, Adam Everett has hung around for a very long time. I think he's finally come to the realization that it's time to hang it up. But a Cesar Torres, an Adam Everett, I mean, Omar Vizquel is still kicking around. I mean, those guys can be had every year in the free agent market for $2 to $3 million. But if you want someone who's that complete threat, your two Lewitzkis, your Hanley Ramirez's, those guys are going to be $10 million plus.
And when you come, and we're talking to Kevin Cray from Pirates Prospects, and when you're talking about a shortstop, do you want a guy? I mean, I know in the, you know, and I watched Alex Rodriguez develop, and he was a guy that was a leader in the infield as well. He was almost like the quarterback of the infield, if you will. He was that guy. And I think at times that's what's missing, besides mental lapses with a guy like Ronnie Cedeno, that he, you know, he's not that take-charge guy out there. Is that a quality that you're looking for in a good shortstop at the farm system as well? Is there a leadership quality that goes along with, you know, the ability to field that position?
Well, my personal opinion is that for shortstop and for catcher, it has to be defense first, which is why it's exciting that someone like a Tony Sanchez, who I see as being the future leader in the infield, at least for this team. You want defense first at those positions. You want your catcher to sort of take charge of things, and you don't want to be on pins and needles every time your pitcher throws a sinker in the dirt or balls hit to your shortstop. You want to have that relaxed feeling, knowing that those two positions are under control.
Right.
And especially for catcher, anything you get out of them offensively is a bonus. You know, you'd love to have Joe Mauer and Hanley Ramirez on your team. I mean, no team would turn those two guys down. But if Tony Sanchez turns into Yadier Molina, I don't think any of us are going to be upset with that.
Exactly. Kevin Cray from Pirates Prospects, PiratesProspects.com is with us. You go to his website, and there's a bunch of good articles, game recap from last night, as well as a search for shortstop, books, lots of different stuff on the website. What, I mean, this club has dumped oodles and oodles of money into the minor league system over the past few years. They've talked so much about rebuilding this minor league system. What's the status? Where do they stand as a whole for this minor league system right now in relation to, I know I looked at the top 100 prospects, and I think I saw, like four or five. I mean, the Royals seem to have every, you know, top 20 spot locked up as far as top 25 prospects. I saw a couple of guys for the Pirates, but not a lot of action there. Where do the Pirates stand as far as their farm system right now?
The Pirates farm system is middle of the road. I think Baseball America had them somewhere in the 17 to 19 range, if I remember right. Myself, personally, I'd put them a touch higher, maybe around 12 or 13. The Pirates system in general is definitely on the rise. They have, at their four full-season affiliates, which kicked off play on Thursday night, they have at a minimum 5 to 6 guys who everyone should at least be checking the box scores on each night. There's pitchers and there's hitters at each level that are at least intriguing enough to follow. And that goes all the way down to West Virginia, which once last year's first-round pick, Jameson Taillon, arrives, they're going to have a real scrumptious rotation with Zach Von Rosenberg, Colton Kane, Zach Dodson, Jameson Taillon, and potentially later on in the year, Stetson Alley as well.
Oh. How about what's the status of Brian Morris? I know that he's kind of the last piece of that Jason Bay trade, if I'm not mistaken, Somebody, you know, a lot of people look at him and say, boy, if he doesn't pan out, that's the biggest failure in Neil Huntington's tenure here as general manager. Where does he sit right now?
Well, he's definitely the last man standing from that trade, that's for sure. And it was a little bit of a disappointment to us that he wasn't promoted to AAA Indy, but he will start off in Altoona, which is the same situation that he had to start 2010, where he started off the year in Bradenton and forced the Pirates to promote him after just absolutely dominating the level through the first month or so. And then he spent the remainder of the year at Altoona. He's still working on the changeup, which is kind of a common refrain that we hear from players like Brad Lincoln and such like that, where you need that third pitch to combat the opposite-handed player, whether in Brian Morris's case it's left-handed batters. So he's just going to be working on his command and refining that changeup, but I definitely see him in Indy probably by June or July.